Mutlak suat
That was for my greeting class.
Nothing to greet. Sure, we'll still be here next week.
Okay, so tonight we'll try to just to really analyze one question, one potential answer that touches on the mitzvah Shmiras Omer, and since we have been focusing significantly on brachas, so we'll try to focus a little bit on the brachas dimension of Shmiras Omer. So there is a question that's raised by Tosfos and Maseches Ksubos in the seventh parak about not so much the mitzvah Shmiras Omer. The question uses Shmiras Omer as a background. The question that Tosfos really presents is that we find that there are multiple times in the Torah there's a mitzvah of Sfira. We find there's a mitzvah of Tzvat Mechabim Rishon, Shmiras Omer. There's a mitzvah of Sfira, Yovel. Then there's another mitzvah of Sfira, Vesafel Hashivet Yom Riachat Yitar. When a woman becomes a Zava, so she has to be Soferes, she has to count the days of what we call Shevinikiyam. Now the truth is that even though all our women today observe this mitzvah, Vesafel Hashivet Yomim, in HaTorah it's not always true. In HaTorah, the din of Sfira Shevinikiyam only applies if the woman's actually a Zava. The Sukkim explained it's hard to quote last week's Pasha, but it was the last Shabbat that we actually laid in the Pasha's Mitzvah. I know it's been very, very long through Mavis Ted Rachim El, we've had about 3 weeks to do it. So in the end of Pasha's Mitzvah, the Torah describes how a woman becomes Asura, how she becomes Taman, how she becomes Asura Labayla, either through the Pasha of Nida, through the Pasha of Zava. She becomes a Nida if she has a regular bleeding at a regular time of the month. Then she just has to wait 7 days. At the end of the 7 days, Min HaTorah, she goes to the mikvah. She doesn't have to count any clean days at all, Midaraisa. So, if a woman becomes a Zava, she has 3 days of bleeding outside of the regular cycles, then she potentially becomes what's called a Zava Gadol, and then she's required to suffer a Shiva Yav Yachat Tatar. The Gemara says in the end of Maseches Nida, this became very complicated how to keep track of this. It's not so simple to always know which part of the cycle she's up to. Therefore, Midir Rabbanan, the days of Avida Nasi, later they made the Gezerah, and then later on it was ratified and confirmed and added on to a little bit by the Midir of Benos Yisrael, and when all the dust settles, every time a woman becomes a Surah Bizman Azeh, whether she's Minatara Nida, Minatara Zava, Zava Katal, all those distinctions are nice for Tum Vatara, but irrelevant Bizman Azeh. In your day, in Shulchan Aruch, every time a woman becomes a Surah, she has to observe the din of Surah Shivanakim. We observe Shivanakim Bizman Azeh, that they're right or they're bottom, depending on what the scenario is. So for this din of Isafa Lashivaz Yaviachat Yitar, so Tosfos asked the question, how come we don't find that when a woman performs its mitzvah, that she makes a bracha. When it comes to Shmiras Omer, so everybody knows, we just made a bracha, the Amar just made a bracha. When it comes to Shmiras Shevinikim, so no one ever heard of making a bracha. That's Tosfos' dilemma. So Tosfos bothered with this kasha. So before we get to what the teretz is, we have to understand what was Tosfos' kasha exactly. What did Tosfos think the woman is going to do in order to warrant making a bracha? So obviously, Tosfos understood that there's some kind of a maisa mitzvah involved in the counting of Shmiras Shevinikim. Otherwise, would be a very, very strange question. She should make a bracha when she does what? She looks at the calendar when the sun rises. What would she be doing that would warrant a bracha? So what exactly was this mysterious phantom mitzvah that Tosfos was dreaming of, which eventually they're going to tell us that you don't make a bracha on? What was this potential mitzvah? So the Sefer Shema Kadosh, one of the few people who refer to it as the Hakadosh, the Shema Kadosh writes that he thinks that the pshat of Tosfos is like this. He thinks that Tosfos really means there's a mitzvah of Svira Shevinikim, a Svira B'peh. The same way there's a mitzvah of Svira B'peh when it comes to Svira Sa'omer, there's a mitzvah of Svira B'peh when it comes to Svira Shevinikim. Therefore, Tosfos conceived of the following. A woman gets up at each day of Shevinikim and she says, Baruch Hashem HaShem Kedishar Mitzvah Svira Shevinikim, Ayom Yom Shlish Le Shevinikim. That's what Tosfos thought. And eventually, Tosfos is going to tell you that Lamaisa has no bracha for technical reasons. But Tosfos must have conceived that there must be some mitzvah, and the only mitzvah that the Shulchan put his finger on is the mitzvah of Dibur, Svir B'Dibur, Svir B'Pes, similar to the mitzvah of Svir Sa'omer. So the Nedib Yehuda quotes this Shulchan Kodosh, and he says that he never heard of such a thing. He says none of the women ever heard of such a thing. In the days of Moshe Rabbeinu Velach, we've never seen any women who get up every morning of Svir Shevinikim and make a verbal declaration as to what day of Svir Shevinikim they're up to. There is no such mitzvah. So if there's no such mitzvah, what could Tosfos have been dreaming of? What was the possible mitzvah? So the Rebbe doesn't suggest this, but maybe others suggest that maybe what Tosfos meant was as follows. There is a Mishnah at the end of Masechet Nida that tells us that during the week of Shivan Akiyam, so the woman has to check herself. She has to be bedekah, she has to do bedikas during the course of the week. So the Mishnah calls the Machlekes at the time, what are the bare bone minimum bedikas you have to do? Is one bedikah enough, two bedikas enough, beginning, end? We have a whole different sheet in the Tanoim. How many bedikas is the absolute minimum for a woman to be able to go to the mikvah? But according to mostly Rishonim, that Mishnah is only bedieved. There's a mitzvah to do bedikas each and every day of Shivan Akiyam. Why is she doing these bedikas? What is the goal? What is the purpose of doing? What is she trying to accomplish with doing these bedikas? That's a big machlekes in the Acharonim. What is the goal of the bedikas? So some of the Acharonim say that the goal of these bedikas are to be the sphira. That's how you do sphira. It turns out the sofer shivas yomim. So how does she declare that this is a count a day? I'm looking into the space. No, she has to do something actively. So the activity that she does, which establishes, which confirms the day of the Yom Noki, is the doing of a bedik, of internal checking herself. So maybe that's what Taisa is driving at. Taisa said that Vim Taimar, the woman should make a bracha. Maybe what Taisa is driving at was that every morning before she does a bedik, she should make a bracha. And then perform the bedik. In the end, we don't do it. In the end, Taisa is giving you a reason why there's no bracha. But that was the Havamin of Taisa. So it's unclear what exactly the Havamin of Taisa was. What was this phantom mitzvah that would have, should have, could have, but didn't in the end warrant a bracha? According to the Shlach Kadosh, it was the verbal declaration. And the Buddha says, we never heard of such a thing. There is no such mitzvah of verbal declaration. The Bedika, maybe that was the possible mitzvah. The Shlach had an interesting, it was almost like a loving critique of the Buddha had almost like a loving critique of the Shlach. He quotes the Pasuk in Kehela says, Ayev Kesef, Layiz Pekesef. The person loves money, so they'll never get satiated. All the money in the world is never going to fill them up. The Gemara says on this Pasuk, that if a person really, really loves mitzvahs, they'll never be full of mitzvahs. He actually says in the Medrash about, it says in the Medrash, in the Yidin Parashat of the Shalach, about Moshe Rabbeinu, that Moshe Rabbeinu went after the Vikach Moshe's Atzvah Yosef Imo. Moshe Rabbeinu was such an always mitzvah, he was always hopping around, always looking to run to go grab another mitzvah. So even at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, there was so much drama unfolding. So many, this Moshe Rabbeinu, this was the highlight of his career. It's just the Tzrayim. He's been waiting so long for the Tzrayim. What's Moshe Rabbeinu doing? He's going to do a little Chesed Shalem. He's going to find, running around the Nile River, trying to dig up the bones of Yosef. So I have mitzvahs, I use my mitzvahs. The person loves mitzvahs, he never gets enough mitzvahs. I think I quoted this Maimon Chazal in my shul, this Pesach, in Shvi'ish and Pesach, where Chazal almost criticized the rest of Klal Yisrael and saying, Moshe Rabbeinu was running after the Atzmus Yosef, and all the Jews are running after the silver and gold, after the Rechush Gadol. So the Medrash is comparing and contrasting. Moshe Rabbeinu is in the right, and everyone else is in the wrong. So I remember I heard once from a sheep from Regobach Zatzal, who said he didn't understand the Medrash. He says, what do you mean Klais were in the wrong? They were told to do that. They were also doing a mitzvah. So why does the Medrash highlight the mitzvah that Moshe Rabbeinu was doing over the mitzvah they were doing? They were also doing a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah, there's a mitzvah. So I don't remember what the Rosh Yeshiva said. Maybe he said this, but this is the answer that I suggested. I said, I quoted the Gemara in Beitza, says that once Rabbi Eliezer was giving shiur on Yom Tov morning, and he was going overboard. He was talking for a long, long time. Everybody started to sneak out. They wanted to go home, make kiddush, eat lunch with their families. And Rabbi Eliezer realized the little Tamidim had left. So he was very, very upset. So he said, Manichim chai oilam v'eskim chai shoy. So they're leaving Torah and they're going to have a party. They're going to eat the bus of the Yain and Yom. It's not right. So the Gemara has a whole discussion, but it's also a mitzvah. It's also a shtickle mitzvah. So it could be that Rabbi Elazar was upset as follows. Even though in theory they were potentially fulfilling a mitzvah, but there are mitzvahs, there are mitzvahs. There are mitzvahs where a person has a personal negiah too. There are mitzvahs which are pure l'shem shemayim. Anytime you see a person running after the mitzvah that he has a negiah too, then you have to get nervous a little bit. He says that if you have a choice between going to the shiur and having a siddur yontif, so if the guy says, I'm a big machshir mitzvah, I go have the bus of yayin, that's my mitzvah. Instead of going to the shiur, you got to wonder about whether he's really going to do it lishma. That's why the Yitzhak Zayim also. Chayisol were very machshir, hini mucham zub, take all the gold and silver. You got to wonder, maybe it's lishma, but it's not lishma. When you see Moshe Rabbeinu go, take Atmos Yosef, it can only be lishma. He has none to gain from taking the Atmos Yosef. So even that's considered to be a high level of mitzvah when there's no personal gear connected. Better get back to the story. So Chazal say, oyev mitzvah, la yisba mitzvah. So the Yehuda writes that the Shlom was such an oyev mitzvah. He was such a tzaddik, chassid, kaddish, that he loved mitzvah so much The 613 wasn't enough. He needed another one. So he made up a new mitzvah called B'safal Hashem Yom Tov. We never heard of such a mitzvah. So he made a joke about the Shlom. But anyway, so at least we understand possibly what the question of Tosfos was. Either the question was to make a bracha before you count or to make a bracha before you do B'dikas. What's the answer, Taka? Tosfos says, on pure technical grounds, you can't recite a bracha. Why? Because Tosfos says, imagine what would happen in the following case. Imagine a guy would make a bracha, a woman would make a bracha, a shekhi dishan mitzvah yitzvah al sphir shivnikim. And she would either do her sphir b'peh, or she would do her b'dikas. And by the fifth day, all of a sudden, she has a riyaz dam. All of a sudden, she starts to bleed, starts to stain, and she's what's called soseris account. The whole count gets up unraveled. She has to start, you know, start all again from scratch. We gloy milsum afreya. Turns out retroactively that the last 5 days were not a mitzvah. So it turns out that she recited five brachas l'matala. So comes Taisa and says, Chazal could not have possibly instituted a bracha on Sefer Shivrikim, because anytime you have a mitzvah that may potentially get undone, may potentially get unraveled, you can't risk a bracha l'matala. Like Moshe L'Madavadayim, the Ravid writes, whenever you have a mitzvah that you're not in control of, a mitzvah that requires somebody else's consent, so you can't recite the bracha until the mitzvah is over. So the Ravid of the famous Shita, that his opinion is that you can't recite Birchas Eiris until after the woman accepts the ring. Why? Because when you're standing under the chuppah and you make Birchas Eiris, how do you know, maybe she'll get cold feet, she'll back out on the spot. So you can't risk a bracha l'vatala. So the Ravid Shita was, you make the bracha dafke afterwards. We don't follow that Ravid, because we're probably pretty confident that she's hopefully not going to back out at that point. Back out early, not at that point. But that idea that we don't want to risk making a bracha l'vatala, we accept that idea also. That's what Taisus writes, that here, the stira of Shivanikiyam, the breaking up the katru of the days, is not the other. She's not in control. So if you're going to go ahead and risk making a bracha, and then she'll have a stira, and then 5 days from now, that's going to be a bracha l'vatala. So here, Taisus is comparing and contrasting the standards of brachas vis-a-vis Sfiras HaOmer in contrast to vis-a-vis Sfiras Shivanikiyam. When it comes to Sfiras HaOmer, we're perfectly comfortable with making a bracha. We have no problems, we have no hesitation, no qualms about making a bracha. When it comes to Shivanikiyam, where we're shaking, we're nervous to recite a bracha. So it's clear from Tosfos that with Sfiras HaOmer, nothing at all could ever go wrong. You can never have a problem. As long as you made a bracha, you count the Sfira, nothing could ever do happen to unravel your Sfira. So it's not a surprise that Tosfos writes this way, because Tosfos' opinion is that even if a person misses the day of Sfira, so what? Taisus in Maseches Menachos, Naf Samach Vav, writes that if a person counts a Sfira, they count, one day they forget, it's a big deal. They continue the next day with a bracha. Taisus never heard of this idea of missing a day of Sfira. Taisus references it, they quote from the Baal Lachas Gedolos, from the period of the Ge'onim, the Baal Lachas Gedolos, who has this idea that if you miss a day, so you're not Yotzei. So Taisus writes, it's a different tema. It's a Pella. One, every little kid knows this. Every little kid knows if you miss a day, you can't continue with a bracha. So Taisus writes, he never heard of such a thing. Some strange sheet that doesn't fit. They can't understand what it's based on. So Taisus, in Maseches Tzubah, seems to be the shitas of Maseches Menachos. Since Taisus disagrees with the Bahag, and they hold that every bit is a separate mitzvah. So when I count it tonight 12, so I would say, even if a person forgets tomorrow night, big deal. You pick up in 4 and the 14th. You pick up whenever you pick up. So nothing can ever undo, nothing can ever unravel your sphira, so then it's safe to recite a bracha in Sfiras HaOmer. Now the question is, can we follow this Tosfos? We, who are cheshish for the Baruch, we paskin, that's a sfeik of the dina. We're not sure whether Tosfos is right, that you can just keep on counting no matter what, or whether the Baruch Kedos is right, who says that missing a day really unravels, really kills the count. So we're not sure. So we, who are nervous to the cheshish, we're concerned with the view of the Baruch Kedos. How do we justify making a bracha when we count Sfira? The same way that our wives don't make brachas when they count Shivanikiyam, because they can't make a bracha because Shema Tirav Tistar. So why aren't we always concerned? Shema Yishkach, Shema Yidala, Yemechot. Maybe you're going to forget a day. So Taisus wasn't bothered. Taisus didn't buy into the Bahag. But we who do accept the Bahag, at least they spake and we follow the Bahag, what justification do we ever have to recite a bracha? You should never be able to recite until the 49th night. You should never make a bracha, because you never know what's going to happen. Well, it's not real. Well, we could forget. I mean, we have to be statistical. You know, what are the odds of a woman being so-so? What are the odds of not forgetting? So we do forget. Sometimes people forget. So maybe the Bira Dover, in what our minig is based on the following. This Chiddush Gadol of the Bahag, which again, highly questionable, Shita. The Baal HaSkedos is Mechadesh. If a person forgets the day of Tzvira, so he messes up. He lost the entire mitzvah. According to the Bahag, you don't have to bother counting anymore. You gain nothing by counting. The reason why we continue to count without a bracha is because we're not sure that he's accepted. But according to the pure view of the Bahag, once you miss a day, it's over. But once you raise the question, what's the nature of that? What's the nature of that opinion of the Bahag? What is that all about? If you miss a day, so you blew the whole thing. So the simple pshat of the Bahag is that it's like one mitzvah. It's one long mitzvah. It's almost like, let's say, there's mitzvah kriyas and Megillah. So a person reads the first three prophets and misses the fourth prophet. There's not anything. So the mitzvah shvi'as omer is one big mitzvah. If you miss a component of it, so you're not yotzei. So imkein, why do you make a bracha on each night? That's for pure tactical reason, because you make a bracha on a ma'isa mitzvah, even though you don't make it on a, even though it's not necessarily a kima mitzvah. So it's a funny kind of a mitzvah. It's a kima mitzvah with 49 distinct ma'isa mitzvahs. Kriyas and Megillah is one mitzvah, one long mitzvah with 2,000 ma'isa mitzvahs, whatever you want to call it, each word of the Megillah. But you do one after another, so you're not going to make a bracha in each word of the Megillah. That would be pretty silly. So you make one bracha, that's chal on the entire kriyas of the Megillah. Well, let's say you have other mitzvahs like that. Say, tkiyah shofar. Tkiyah shofar, you have to go tkiyah through or tkiyah three times. So there are different parts of the ma'aseh mitzvah, but you do it all at one shot, you make one bracha, and it passes the whole thing. By shvi'as omer, the nature of the mitzvah is that you have to do one part now and then wait 24 hours to do the next part. And then nach 24 hours. So you can't cover all the ma'aseh mitzvahs with one bracha. So each ma'aseh mitzvah warrants its own bracha. So according to the Baal HaLachos Gedolos, there's one mitzvah called shvi'as omer. Shvi'as kol mem tes yom, kol shiva shavuos. The entire period is one big mitzvah. Therefore, if you miss one component of it, you blew the entire thing. If that's the case, then it turns out, let's say a guy's counting, and he forgets the 49th night. So we go to Slava Freya that what he did for the last 48 days was tacha nothing. It's like the guy reads the Megillah and forgot to read the last pasuk. So he mamash blew it. He didn't fulfill anything. So it turns out the Gloy Milsa was tacha 48 brachas of Atala. So according to the Baal HaLachos Gedolos, it would be very hard to justify ever reciting a bracha. I can never make a bracha on Shvi'as Omer in Shema Yishkach. But maybe there's a whole different sound in the Baal HaLachos Gedolos. Maybe that's not what he means at all. Maybe what the Baal HaLachos Gedolos means is, it's not that it's one big mitzvah. Even he agrees it's 49 different mitzvahs. But there's a din of tamimus. What does tamimus mean? So tamimus means that the counting has to be a continual count. You can't count if the day that you're counting isn't following a previous count. You can't start counting in the middle of nowhere. You have to count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You have to count in order. You start to pick up on day 26, and you didn't say day 25. So 26, that's not a count. That's not called counting. That's a chison in the tamimus shabbat. But it's not any Gloy Muslim affair that the first 24 days that you did say were brachas l'matal. No, they weren't. Every day is a mitzvah b'fnei atzmo. Even the Bahag agrees, like Taisus, that Pat Lechem Bechus Shabbat, Tish B'chamishim Yom, each and every day is a mitzvah b'fnei atzmo. The gal counts one day, didn't count the second day, counts the third day, didn't count the fourth day. So each day is a potential mitzvah. The only thing is that your hands are tied. If you miss the day, so then the counting cannot continue on its own. So Memele Mikan Lahaba, you can't be Yotzei. So what's the Pshat in the Bahag? It's Pshat in the Bahag that you're not Yotzei even Lemafreya. Everything you counted up to now was Devarim B'Teilim, was Levatola. But they say, no, from here on in, you're not going to be Yotzei. Whatever happened Lemafreya happened, you were Yotzei and finished. So if you take the step and view of the Bahag, that would defend our practice. That would make a lot of sense what we do. That we have no problems. We count Shvi'as Omer. There's a good chance the guy may forget it somewhere along the way. All right. When he forgets, from the end, he'll stop counting with a bracha. But whatever he counted up till now, he counted with a good bracha, with a mitzvah, wasn't a bracha of a Torah at all. That would be a simple solution to our dilemma. Is this correct or not? So the Mishnah Berurah doesn't seem to say this. Other Acharonim do, but the Mishnah Berurah doesn't say this. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the question whether it's appropriate for women to count Shvi'as Omer with a bracha. So normally we know that women, Ashkenazi women, volunteer to do mitzvah Shvi'as Omer. Pashas in the Loch is that Tzvira is as man grama. There's a Ramban that may disagree, but we usually assume, like the Rambam, that women are v'ikra din pturos from Tzvira's Omer. It's a classic man grama. You can only do it certain times of the year. And therefore, if a woman would want to volunteer to count Tzvira, according to standard Ashkenazi practice, we would be okay. We would let her make a bracha. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes from one of the Acharonim that no, a woman should not make a bracha on Tzvira's Omer. Why? Because says the Mishnah Berurah, quoting from these Acharonim, that it's unlikely she's going to remember to count the entire Sefirah. She's probably going to forget somewhere along the way. Why is Mishnah Berurah so confident she's going to forget? So we live in a world where we have so many different ways of remembering. You guys get apps on their phones and emails coming in there. You know, alarm clocks going off. We have five there. We have Sefirah charts all over the place. In the old days, there was only one way to remember to count Sefirah. If you went to shul, daven ma'ariv in a minyan, then there was a chance you cast mirror. If you daven b'yechidus, and then you were a lost cause. So the women there come to shul, daven ma'ariv, they're putting the kids to sleep. So you're going to tell every woman's going to remember to count every night? It's highly unlikely. So the Shabura quotes that it's a bad advice to tell a woman to count Svira, because there's an overwhelming chance that she's going to forget, and then it's going to turn out that she made brachas levatola. So the Mishnah sounds like if she goes ahead and misses on day 37, she missed Svira, so that was a terrible thing. Igloy mills at the first 36 of levatola. By man, all right, the man, the odds are working in his favor, probably remember. He's having a minion. The woman, the odds are against her. So it's better not to count with a bracha rather than risk a bracha levatola. So the fact that the Mishnah Berurah calls it a bracha levatola, that very much is in sync with the first shot that we said, not the second shot. So if you look at the source that the Mishnah Berurah is coming from, so the Achron that the Mishnah Berurah quotes doesn't seem to say that exactly. It seems to say, I don't know whether the Mishnah Berurah had that exactly or he's quoting from somebody else. The original source for the statement seems to say a little bit different, namely that women should be discouraged from counting with a bracha because they're probably a good chance they're going to forget. And if they forget, they won't realize that they shouldn't continue to count with the bracha, and they'll continue counting with the bracha, and that'll be the bracha v'tol. The Acharonim never said that the first 25 days was the bracha v'tol. It's not bracha v'tol, it's not bracha v'tol. We're concerned they're going to continue to count, not knowing that if they missed a day, they're not supposed to make a bracha, and that'll not be a bracha v'tol at all. Of course, a different color, a different parasha. According to that presentation of this minhag, then the whole thing is not true. Then whatever happened to Mafreya happened. It wasn't the bracha levatola. The minhag in most of our communities is, and many women do have the practice of counting with a bracha. We assume that this chashash doesn't really apply bezman hazeh, probably because we have so many different ways of reminding us to count sviras. We're not as concerned as in the days of the Mishnah Berurah. Go back to the story. So it is a lomdus hashayla. How do I understand this sheet of the Bahag that we're not even sure we pass him on? At least we suffix maybe. How do you understand it? Does the missing of a day retroactively mess up the count? Does the missing of a day just become lahaba prevents one from counting? So the chodesh should happen after Kamina Ladina in the following case. Let's say you have a person who knows in advance that they're going to miss a day of Sphira. How do they know for sure they miss their Sphira? Why do they know this? They know they're going for some medical procedure, they're going to be out for 24 hours. They know in advance. So should they start counting through with the bracha or not? So some Achronim had an interesting sheet. They said, no, you shouldn't count. If you know you're going to miss, then don't start. You should count. Don't count with a bracha. If you know you're going to miss, then you're just setting yourself up for trouble for a bracha levatola. Another Achronim said, no, it's not true. Even if a person knows they're going to miss, so what? From the point that they miss onwards, that'll be a lack of to miss. They won't continue with the bracha. But whatever, until that point, because one day, that's not a problem, not a concern or whatsoever. So it seems to be all, again, all connected to the same Shiloh. The Mishnah Berurah quotes from one of the Rishonim, we would consider it to be a very strange shita. But the days of Rishonim, such a shita was floating around. Let's say a person misses a day of Sfiras HaYomer. So again, according to Taisa, big deal. Let's continue with a bracha. And according to the Bahag, no. According to the Bahag, you're done, you're finished. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes that one of the Rishonim writes that if a person forgot to count Sfira, no problem. He should say, last night was such and such, and tonight is such and such. And that's okay. That's not. That was last night, the wrong night. So if you hold that you have to count and each day is a part of the one big night, that mitzvah, and has 49 different components to it. So the components are made up of each day counting. How is counting today for yesterday? How is that going to help? That's not going to help me for anything. But if you hold like the second shot, that the only reason why you have to count every day is because the count has to be continuous. So some of these Rishonim say, well, there's another way to create a continuity in the count. That the continuity doesn't have to be every night. The continuity could be as long as I'm picking up from where I think the guy, Erev Shavuot, the guy will say, 49 days ago was one good throw, count the whole Sfira, and then they'll say, and tonight is the 49th night. So according to some Hashem, now you get to the Mitzvah Sfira. You at least you get to one of the 49 Mitzvahs of Sfira, and you can still make a bracha in that. That's quite a startling sheet, and we usually don't follow that practice. That's a very, very startling sheet. This idea that each day of Sfira is either one big bit for each one of the separate mitzvahs according to the Bag. So this is at least part of the story. One of the most famous shaylas. If you go to a bar mitzvah during Sfira, you will probably hear this drasha at some point about if a kid turns bar mitzvah in the Sfira, where they continue counting with the bracha. So the Acharonim got a town on the shayla. Their abundance and their ice is going to be mitzvah. Everything under the sun goes into the shayla. So they say from the Rav that the whole shayla was a moot shayla. He didn't like the whole shayla. He said that the shayla only makes sense if you really hold that each day is a separate mitzvah. If you really hold that it's one big mitzvah, then you can argue, well, it's like if I read part of the Megillah before my bar mitzvah, now I read the second half on my bar mitzvah, so maybe that's no good. But if you hold that the only reason why you need the first counting is just to give credibility to the second counting, they can't say day 25 if there was no 24. So the day 24 didn't have to be b'taras chiyo. Not that they had to be chayiv in Shvi'a Somer. The chayiv are going to town, the chatzchinuch and others, is it called the chiyiv? Not called the chiyiv. Under bar mitzvah, over bar mitzvah, the rabbanis, the rice, the chinuch, every possibility in terms of the world of chinuch. So as the Rav forgets the world of chinuch. If l'maisa, the word came out of your mouth, 24, whether you were chayiv in the mitzvah, not chayiv in the mitzvah, what's the difference? As long as you said the number 24, so now tonight you can say the number 25. You said 24 last night, you can say 25 last tonight. Ah, you weren't yaitzeh, partially. The reason why you have to have the numbers intact is just to keep the count intact out to me. So again, so this is all a throwback to that original Taisus. So this Taisus started off with the Kasha. What happened to Sviras Shivanikiyam? Where's the Bracha? So we weren't sure what Taisus thought the mitzvah was to start the Bracha in the first place. But whatever the mitzvah was, Taisus rejected the Bracha because you can't make a Bracha on Sviras Shivanikiyam because it's too risky. So we're asking if it's too risky. So for us, it should be risky by Sviras Omer also. According to what it suggests, you know, Sviras Omer is not so risky. Because not risky at all. Because even if I forget from here on in, no big deal. From here on in, I won't count with the bracha. But all my brachas previously were still going to be intact. So at least we touched a little bit in some in Yonim related to sphere, related to brachas. Hopefully next week we'll get back into regular sphere. Okay.